You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, part two. And so we've got a bunch of questions. But before we do that, you know, I wanted to ask you, Layla, have you had a chance to take a look at some of the information shared by Casey and Callie Means?
Yes.
They've written a book called Good Energy. And they had a very interesting interview, and I actually posted the interview with Chuck. I guess Callie is the female and Casey is the male.
Yes, Casey. I saw the interview that Casey was interviewed. Oh, this was a while back by Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't so much heard Callie Means talk as much, but so she's aware of the,
she's an MD.
Of the two of them. They're brother and sister.
Yeah, she's an MD.
She's an MD.
But I tell you, you know, I have to say that, you know, this is all kind of old hat for us. We've been saying this stuff forever. But, you know, like Tucker Carlson or not, you know, I think he's a controversial figure. He's a lightning rod. You know, you love him or you hate him. But he conducted a very, very fascinating interview with Casey Means, the male, the brother, and he really beautifully articulated a critique of the American healthcare scene. And he is just extremely well-spoken, and it was a real wow factor. Now, what's interesting about this pair, first of all, they've written a book called Good Energy, which is, I think, as a result of the visibility that the Tucker Carlson interview gave them, is going to really, you know, go to the bestseller lists. I don't think it's a brand new concept, because basically what they're talking about low carb dieting, and they're talking about the prevalence of metabolic syndrome in America, and they're talking about the ultra processed food and toxic ingredients in food and all the stuff that we talk about on this program, but beautifully encapsulated and really well articulated by this pair. What's interesting is that they have the ear of RFK Jr. And of interest is that because of this new alliance between RFK Jr. and Trump, they have a little bit of an in to the Trump campaign. So there's a new meme that's popping up. It's MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. And that may be offensive to some people because of the association with MAGA, love it or hate it. But I can certainly get behind a nonpartisan ecumenical call for MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. And, I hope that, it's actually rare in a political campaign, in a press, especially presidential campaign, for there to be a health component. But I think because of the campaign of RFK, some of his views, maybe, some people consider wackadoodle, but he's certainly introduced a health perspective into our discussion of and critique of the American system. Big pharma, big agriculture, big food, the regulatory regime that permits all kinds of crappy stuff, and the environmental pollution that afflicts us all. I mean, I think that that's going to be a topic, which I'm excited to hear. So,
I am too.
I think
with our biggest healthcare expenditures in America, like the highest in the world, and we have the most, we have the sickest children.
Yeah. It's very A&H. You know, I'm president of the Alliance for Natural Health, and, you know, we're sort of at the margins of the discussion. And I think, you know, our agenda, the kind of agenda that we embrace, is going front and center with the current political campaign. So I'm kind of excited about that.
I'm excited too.
So anh-usa.org is the place to check out. And we got some exciting developments coming up in the fall, because we're going to, you know, in much the same way that RFK wants to challenge the, you know, the big state when it comes to the way that we regulate the food supply and regulate chemicals and, you know, are permissive of all manner of, in many cases, over-medicalization of certain health problems. You know, that's what we stand for. So,
And I love seeing the intersection between RFK Jr., organizations like yours, Dr. Hoffman, ANH, others like Stand for Health Freedom. I love seeing all of this converging into our great awakening and being talked about on television in the public. To me, it's a dream come true.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Like, why have we've been talking about this for decades. Now, finally, everybody can start talking about it too.
And
I love that.
The last time I saw it was with a hopeless candidate like Marianne Williamson. Does anybody remember Marianne Williamson?
My.
She ran. She ran on, you know, some.
She's a nice lady.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, look, maybe not, you know, when it comes to, you know, governing the United States, but her health platform was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was about, you know, preventing degenerative disease and, you know, looking at the food supply, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. But again, these are always were the province of fringy candidates. And maybe we can bring some of this discussion into the mainstream rather than relegating it to the you know, the distant reaches of the spectrum, of the political spectrum.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought I'd digress. We have questions to answer, so let's
we
tackle
do.
Some of them.
Yeah, Carol writes, hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I was just listening to you on the Q&A segment from a senior asking about the benefits of using a rebounder.
Yeah, we talked
about
that.
I don't have
one
of those, but but I'm also a senior and I sit on my exercise ball and bounce every day, adding twists and arm rotations. I know you said that using a rebounder is great for getting your lymphatic system going. Would what I'm doing also help with that? It requires some balancing, but I think for some people, it might be a safer alternative to using a rebounder. It does get my heart pumping, and I'm hoping that it also helps with lymph circulation.
No, I think that the balls are good. You know,
she's
right.
The balls are great.
Because
good for core workout, too.
And, you know, some people actually use them as a desk, you know, as a chair.
Yeah.
Because they actually mobilize a lot of the muscles that are completely neglected because they're stability muscles.
And the adductors and the supporting muscles of the bigger muscles and all of that.
And it involves some core.
Keeps them engaged.
Some core. And now I don't know about the bouncing on the ball. You know, the bouncing on the ball may be good, you know, as long as you don't bounce off the ball and, you know, break your your hip. but, you know, I actually wanted to address that because what I said before was that the rebounder is potentially dangerous. And what can happen is, you know, you can, you know, misstep or you can bounce off the rebounder and, you know, have an injury. And actually, if you look at statistics, one of the most common causes of injuries in kids is trampoline injuries. And and especially in older people who don't have that great balance, maybe not the best idea. But I saw, you know, right after I mentioned that, I saw pictures of trampolines that have kind of safety rails that you hold on to while you jump up and down. And I think that those, and they're not that expensive. They're, you know, maybe a couple hundred dollars. And those are plausible alternatives to, you know, old-fashioned rebounders, which I once had that had no rails. And they're good for...
Did you ever fall off of one?
I probably did, but, you know, I don't think I ever used one after I was, you know, 35. So, you know.
Right. Right. I think the last time I was on a rebounder was in junior high school gym class
okay.
or something.
Okay.
Like
were
that.
You, were
anyway.
You a cheerleader?
But
cheerleaders.
There are
cheerleaders use rebounders. Cheerleaders are often jumping up and down.
Yes.
Rebounds. Did you have the pom-poms and stuff like that? No, I can't see you.
No, I wasn't a cheerleader. I wasn't a pom-pom girl. I was none of that. Mm-mm.
You were kind of goth in there. Did you have like?
Oh no, not at all. But I was a musician type.
Oh okay, okay.
Yeah.
So
I wasn't really a jock.
Okay. So you know. The in those days the boys were jocks. The girls were cheerleaders. You know if they were that. You know and. And then there were the drama types, and then there were the, you know, the music types. You know, everybody kind of devolved into cliques, you know, right?
Yeah, but you know, I did enjoy a great game of volleyball as well as softball.
Yeah.
Softball was great fun, so was volleyball. So, yeah.
Good. All right.
Anyway.
So let's get to additional questions. Oh, actually, good point at which to pause because, we want to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message, so... Listen up, here goes. Whether you're a nutrition enthusiast or simply an individual looking to improve your well-being, check out this comprehensive new course from the American Nutrition Association, Getting Started with Personalized Nutrition. It's a self-paced one-hour course with video, reference sheets, and more, all with the goal of helping you harness the power of personalized nutrition. You'll learn how to optimize your energy levels, support your mental clarity, improve your GI function, enhance your physical performance, and maintain your metabolic health. The course is regularly $49, but as an Intelligent Medicine listener, you can get access to this vital content for just $29. Just go to the ANA.org/Hoffman. That's the ANA.org/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman29 for the exclusive discount. The ANA believes personalized nutrition holds the greatest potential to solve the chronic disease epidemic. Just go to the ANA.org/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman29 for the Harness the Power of Personalized Nutrition course. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. Because of our sponsors, Telesyn Medicine is a free broadcast to you, and we're very appreciative of their underwriting of our efforts. So,
yes,
when you
in fact,
go ahead.
Yeah, you could shop hundreds of curated vetted supplements in Dr. Hoffman's full script dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. And they are the very same supplements Dr. Hoffman prescribes to his patients and takes himself. I take them too. Buying through FullScript offers fast free shipping and optional refill reminders via text or email. It's safe, it's secure, and includes world-class customer service.
Right. So most of the supplements that we mentioned on this program are available through FullScript, but there's some exceptions. For example, NT Factor, they have a few products there. But the full line of products are, you know, ntfactor.com. The same thing with, you know, we mentioned Urolithin A, the MitoPure product. That's only available through direct purchase via their website, which is timeline.com. And then, you know, they're, so it varies. Some, you know, the vast majority, you can get virtually everything you want at FullScript. Just go to drhoffman.com, look at the drop-down menu, where it tells you that you can get to supplements.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We've got a question here from Lynn. Hello, Dr. Hoffman. I'm trying to get my blood pressure under control, and I came across Muktavati, which is an Ayurvedic herb, as a supplement to help keep the numbers in check. And I was also practicing some deep breathing. What are your insights on taking this type of herb for blood pressure? Is there anything else I can do? And what about the deep breathing? Well, I know that the deep breathing is very beneficial to help stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system. Yep. There's also left nostril breathing, which is helpful to calm everything down. People are starting to call it box breathing too, Dr. Hoffman, where You basically breathe in for a count of four, hold it for a count of four, breathe out for a count of four, and another count of four. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of a thing.
Well, I am not familiar with Muktavati. It is not.
Yeah.
I am from a different part of India where they do. They're not familiar with Muktavati. But I am familiar with Krishnamurti and Gandhi.
Okay.
But not Muktavati.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at it. There was very little information I could find. Mm-hmm. The claims, however, were that there were little to no side effects, although you are warned not to take it if you're pregnant.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's value to Ayurvedic medicine. It's a traditional medicine for thousands of years.
Yes.
And you've got to be a little careful about sources because some of the products are unregulated, but there are also purveyors of very clean Ayurvedic formulas or where they're not spiked with medications or, you know, high levels of toxins like lead or arsenic or things like that.
Exactly.
I think
you want to source it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I might also mention that for blood pressure, one of the more effective exercises is planking, you know, like or certain yoga positions. Yoga is great. But, you know, for people who are not familiar with yoga, some yoga positions involve planking.
Right. These are isometric exercises that are very helpful for blood pressure control. This is almost like a recent finding, Dr. Hoffman, that these isometric type exercises can help to reduce blood pressure. But Lynn, let's choose wall squats,
for example.
Yeah, wall squats, these are good.
Yeah.
But let's rule out some of the obvious things that will definitely be beneficial for lowering your blood pressure. You want to make sure you're maintaining an ideal body weight for you. And losing as little as 5-7% of body weight is helpful in reducing blood pressure. Going on more of a lower carb diet is helpful in that it has a nice natural dehydrating effect. Often people with high blood pressure
like a diuresis effect, like a water pill.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So many are given a water pill like HCTZ. You could do this naturally by eating the right way, lowering your carbohydrates so you're not hanging on to so much water, which invariably goes into our bloodstream, increases our blood volume, and may cause blood pressure.
Think of the word carbohydrate. Carbohydrate.
Yes.
It's like
hydrate.
These carbs actually gather water.
Water.
Okay.
They hydrate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is the remarkable effect of going on, say, a keto diet for a week. You can lose 6-8 pounds. That's not
of fat.
Water. It's very encouraging at first, and then it's disappointing later when you don't lose scads and scads of weight at the same rate. But it's very exciting to see all the weight come up. But some of it is actually you're diuresing. You're losing excess body weight.
Right, which is the first thing to go, and it's nice. You look in the mirror, and you notice, oh, there go my cheekbones.
Yeah.
Oh, look, my eyes are less puffy.
I can see my hip bones. Happen. Yay, I haven't seen those for years.
Right, my collarbone is more pronounced.
Right.
You know, all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a good thing.
Yep.
When, you know, again, when we're looking for one particular thing to take for blood pressure, isn't that the same as taking, again, a pill?
Yeah. Yeah,
you've
got
to make sure you're doing all the other right things first.
But they're natural things.
And then
add on. Magnesium chiolic aged garlic extract has actually been demonstrated to have blood pressure lowering effects. Fish oil, in some studies, has been shown to have a blood pressure lowering effect. Coenzyme
maybe
Q10
taurine.
In some instances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Taurine, yeah, okay.
Maybe taurine.
Yep.
Because taurine could have a little water loss effect as well, which can be beneficial in that regard.
Isn't oolong tea something that lowers blood pressure? Am I mistaken? I'll have to look that up while you keep talking.
No, it's hibiscus tea.
Oh, hibiscus.
Yeah. Oolong tea is great for, Dr. Leo Gallen said it, oolong is great for allergies.
Allergies, thank you.
It's beneficial for allergies, and hibiscus is really good for blood pressure. It's got a very nice mild citrus flavor. I don't know anyone that doesn't enjoy
like
some hibiscus tea from time to time.
But I don't have high blood pressure, luckily, so. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Lynn, the other thing I would tell you is to please avoid licorice.
Yeah.
This can cause your blood pressure to go up.
Yep. Yep.
By messing with your potassium levels and causing your body to hang on to excess sodium. You don't want that.
Yep.
So make sure that even your herbal teas don't contain any licorice root or licorice leaf or licorice in any form.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good.
So it's important to look at. Okay. All right. Let's see here. And thank you for your very thoughtful question. We've got a question here from Robin. My 37-year-old daughter with special needs has been diagnosed with esophageal ulcer three times in her life. First at age 10, then her late teens, then her mid-30s. She generally loses interest in eating and then eventually drinking. And then the gastroenterologist does an endoscopy and verifies it's an esophageal ulcer. My problem is that other than taking PPIs, the doctors have no other suggestions for how to prevent future ulcers.
We answered that a little bit in relationship to the person who had gastric bypass. Now, I don't know what the special needs dimension of this is. Is it in some way affecting digestion or motility? I don't know. Or is it that this person is on, you know, because sometimes special needs folks, say with some sort of neurodevelopmental, neurodivergent issue, sometimes tend to be less disciplined in their eating. They eat indiscriminately. I don't know. So, you know, I think the same rules apply.
She shows, she shows no other GERD symptoms like tummy distress or anything like that. The special needs diagnosis is Joubert syndrome, a genetic malformation of cerebellar vermis resulting in low muscle tone, nonverbal, non-ambulatory, and some intellectual disability.
So I wonder if it affects the motility of the smooth muscles. As well as the voluntary muscles. You know, that's why I'm wondering, is there a dimension of that that makes her more predisposed to reflux or GERD?
Robin was actually thinking that her problem may be due to a low-toned esophageal sphincter.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
Something like that may be happening. Yeah, that's possible.
And under those circumstances, you know, unfortunately, it may be that because of this deficit, that from time to time, these acid-blocking medications need to be employed. But that does not preclude the use of things like DGL and one of our favorite formulas, Endofen, because what, you know, just shutting off the acid does not tamp down inflammation. We like to use things that are soothing and anti-inflammatory in conjunction with acid-blocking medications. Not an either-or. It's not like, okay, those don't work, so you use the acid blocker, or if you know, using the acid blocker, you stop using those others, because they work differently and they work synergistically. So I would recommend that as a way of facilitating healing. What do you say?
Absolutely, that would be the therapy to follow. Robin, there you go. Okay, best of luck to your daughter. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Dr. By the way, that's an unusual syndrome because we touch upon a lot of esoteric stuff in medical school, but some of these rare disorders, I don't think I've ever heard about this, but these
esophageal
ulcers, yes, but Joubert syndrome, this genetic neuromuscular disorder, it's a relatively rare condition.
Coming back to the esophageal ulcers, I wonder, would H. pylori be playing a role here?
Well, you know, it's actually maybe playing it may be playing a role in reverse, because here's the ironic thing about H. pylori is that while it is likely to increase the prevalence of gastric ulcers in the stomach and duodenal ulcers, it is inversely correlated with esophageal inflammation. So it may be protective in the esophagus. So sometimes there's a trade-off. You know, if you treat it aggressively to get rid of stomach ulcers, you may increase the likelihood of esophageal problems and GERD.
Right.
So, I don't think that H. pylori is so much of a causative organism in esophageal ulcers.
You know, I have to confess, I've seen a good handful of patients over the years, Dr. Hoffman, who were diagnosed with H. pylori, although they did not have any symptoms.
Yeah.
But their doctors aggressively treated them with a triple antibiotic therapy.
I would not do that.
Yes. And they wound up with GERD.
Yeah. And the rationale for that is that it is associated with stomach cancer. It's associated with stomach cancer.
Yeah.
But only very rarely, very rarely. So it is not like, it's not like the scourge of mankind where if you find it, you have to kill it. It's the carrier state of H. pylori, especially in the third world, is about 40% to 60%. In industrialized countries, it's about, 15-20%.
Mm-hmm.
So if it were directly causative of stomach cancer, it's not a rare cancer, but it's also not a very common cancer. Then there would be a rationale to take it. I think it's actually a push to get doctors to prescribe expensive novel drugs. This whole thing with test patients, screen them for H. pylori, and then treat them. I think it's a real wrong turn in medicine.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, if you have an ulcer, get checked and get treated because that may help.
Absolutely.
Prevent a recurrence of your ulcer. Okay, got it. That's the limited use case for these powerful medications, triple antibiotics.
Yeah. Oh, Robin, best of luck to your daughter. All right.
We have time for an additional question. So can you reach deeper into the mailbag and pull something out for us?
Yes, absolutely. We've actually got a question from Dennis, who writes, late summer greetings. Yes, it is late summer. It is the end of August. I have heard your recent comments on the benefits of using black pepper to increase curcumin absorption.
Yep.
I use a lot of black pepper in my cooking. Do I need to take the pepper with my curcumin supplement, or is using it in everyday cooking effective? Well, Dennis, I imagine you're taking your curcumin supplement with your meal, which contains black pepper, and that can certainly be helpful.
It's actually what they've used is a piperine, which is an alkaloid present in black pepper. So it's kind of a concentrated extract of black pepper. And piperine is responsible for the biting quality of black pepper. And when combined with curcumin, it amps up its bioavailability. And I think they also use it with other things to increase bioavailability. It's generally used a lot with certain supplements. What they have found is that rarely, but occasionally, curcumin is associated with liver function changes. And there was recently a very lurid article about how, these common herbs can cause serious liver problems. And them are EGCG and curcumin. Now, I've not seen that, and we've treated a lot of patients, thousands of patients between us. I've not seen people have liver problems from curcumin. But when they analyzed the few cases, they found that a fairly high percentage of the cases were when you combined the piperine with the curcumin to enhance its bioavailability, sort of amping up its potency. So I don't, this is tangential to the question. I just had, my eggs this morning and I put some fresh pepper on the eggs. Pepper is a spice that has beneficial effects. So
I think that would be helpful. Yeah. There we go. And, you'd have to also take a lot of curcumin.
Yeah, exactly.
Or EGCG. Yeah. And, eat too many apples, you'll get a stomach ache.
And here's the problem, is when we look at these studies, the majority of Americans have bad liver function. the majority.
That's true.
I mean, they don't have, they won't be hospitalized for it. It won't even be recognized, but they have suboptimal liver function. So because of medication, because of poor diet, because of maybe a bad microbiome that contributes to liver problems, intestinal toxicity, and or environmental exposure, you know, environmental chemicals affect the liver. So then they take curcumin and they end up with a liver problem and they blame it on the curcumin. So that's my problem with these studies, that when it could be a multiplicity of factors that cause their liver function to be elevated or, you know, leading to more serious problems like cirrhosis of the liver or, you know, liver failure, rarely with supplements.
Yeah, there are more people with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease than ever.
Right. And then, you know, and then you look at the people who are taking, you know, like, you know, 4 or 6 Tylenols every day.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm taking Tylenol because I want to stay away from NSAIDs so I don't get an ulcer.
Right.
But all that acetaminophen in Tylenol is really hard on your liver.
It is indeed.
It's all trade-off.
So, but that's the story on piperine. I mean, I think pepper is a good thing. You know, I also think that, you know, it's a bitter substance and it may actually, in some ways, curtail appetite and increase satiety. So, you know, at the very least.
There we go.
Yeah. So there's, I think there's some, there's some good things. Yeah, I'm looking up.
Thank you.
Piperine or piperine in Wikipedia. And they said it was discovered in 1819 by a Dane. They don't say much. They don't say much. They don't say much.
Use pepper in your cooking, Dennis. It's all good. In fact, use some. Use some turmeric in your cooking too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Curry. I mean, curry is.
Curry. Curries are great.
Yep. And, you know, they're not causing, you know, there's the most populous country in the world, India, surpassing China now, subsists on curries. And you don't see widespread liver function abnormalities due to that.
So,
we can put that one to rest.
Yeah.
And by the way, just to comment briefly on that article, the problem I had with that article is that they did point out that some people were experiencing liver function problems from supplements. And, you know, that may be true. And we should, you know, I'm open to that. I'm always alert to that. Like, I don't want to harm patients. So if we see a signal that some supplements could have a harmful effect, you know, I'm going to be more judicious in prescribing them.
Absolutely.
But the problem that I saw with the article is they immediately go to this. The conclusion was that we need more regulation of supplements.
Yes. Now, which was the whole point of a supplement bashing piece.
Yeah. So I'm thinking there's an agenda and it goes beyond a scientific observation. That these people are carrying water for the pro-regulatory forces in Congress and in the deep state that want to, in effect, take over purview over our supplement choices. And that's one of the things that I think we have to push back against, because otherwise we're going to end up with a regime. Europe is horrible when it comes to many supplements. You can't get more
I'll give
than,
you a great example of that, Dr. Hoffman. My sister lives in Geneva, Switzerland.
Yes.
And I have her on a supplement regimen, but I got to tell you what she finds there locally at her pharmacy, at her so-called health food store.
Really
and
watered
she sends
down.
Me the ingredients. I'm like, oh no. And it's made by Bayer.
Yeah. Which is a German company.
These ingredients
of course.
In it. Yeah. And this is all she can get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, 50 milligrams of vitamin C, you know, is like the B6 is like, I don't know, 6 or 12 milligrams of, you know, B6.
Right.
Very, very draconian restrictions
on
someone.
The ingredients are not terrific. Yep. All of that.
Yep.
More carrageenan and caramel color than I care to ever see.
Yeah.
In anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of that as well.
Right. Okay. So lest we have that here, I think we need to remain politically active. That's why I'm president of the ANH, the Alliance for Natural Health. We push back against onerous regulations. And you can check them out at anh-usa.org. I encourage you to go there. And you know, when you sign up, you're going to get some action alerts about some of our important campaigns this fall. And I think you're going to see some fireworks because legislative battles are heating up and legal battles over the purview of regulatory agencies being challenged. So good stuff is happening.
We can make a difference by signing these petitions, by going with the action alert. You can absolutely make a difference. Don't think you can't. We have strength and power in numbers. We do.
Indeed. And it's not just about the presidential elections. I think we have all politics is local, and our community is the local community of people who believe in health self-determination, self-care, a grassroots movement towards more natural approaches to health. So that's the message. All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for today.
A reminder.
Please.
Yes. A reminder to everyone to email questions to questions@drhoffman.net. That's questions@drhoffman.net. And if you wish to record a question for the Intelligent Medicine Radio Show, you could do that anytime, 24/7. And that phone number is 877-726-8255. That's 877-726-8255.
Okay. And we'll see you on the air. Our program is heard weekends, Saturdays from noon to 2. But one of the best kept secrets is if you can't be at your radio listening or listening to the live stream, you can hear the program on Monday as a podcast. And I won't say this too loudly, but we edit out most of the commercials. So a relatively commercial-free edition is reposted every Monday. Great stuff. All right. Thanks for listening, folks. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks, Layla.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
It's great being back, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.